first reading this morning is from 1 Peter 1, verses 3 to 9. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith is a shield by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you will greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And then we turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorned its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Delight, great pleasure, jubilation, exultation, bliss, rejoicing, extreme happiness, gladness, elation, glee, exhilaration, exuberance, enjoyment. That sums up coming to church, doesn't it? Or not. Those are all words associated with joy. Is that your experience when you come week by week? You've probably heard it said before, but people going to church look as if they're going to the dentist. When they come out of church, they look as if they've been to the dentist. This morning in the fruit of the Spirit, we come to joy. And you're probably sitting there thinking, if I only knew what you've been going through in this last week, last month, last year, you wouldn't be encouraging me to be joyful. And you're probably thinking, if you have a lot of people to get ready, you've no idea how hard it is to get everybody here on time, or at least near enough. You've no idea what we go through to get here on a Sunday morning. And some may even be saying, I'd rather be somewhere else. Well, that deals with the preacher's response. No, life is tough. And yet when we come to church, how often are we encouraged to smile, to enjoy, and look as if we really mean what we're doing? And when life is tough, how can you have that joyous excitement, exuberance in worship? No wonder it's such hard work coming to church sometimes. A lot of people think God is a killjoy, a God who says, don't do this and don't do that, a God who's waiting to punish you every time you slip up. And if that's the picture you have of God, then let's pray that perhaps God will speak to any of us who need him to speak in a particular way today. Because joy is a hallmark of being a Christian. I don't know if you're aware, but words like joy, joyful, joyous, rejoice appear over 500 times in the Bible. I can assure you I've not counted them all. But they're there. It would suggest that joy is a significant part of being a Christian. Why is it so difficult to express it? When we say to one another, how are you? Fine. Wouldn't it be good if we were actually honest in church? Although I have to be honest and say, I know the people in churches we've been in, you don't ask because it's 3 hours while they tell you. But are we really fine? A lot of people now won't tell me they're fine because I tell them it means they're feeling inadequate and needing encouragement. Wouldn't it be good if we were actually honest with each other? But even in spite of that, can we still have joy? We mistake happiness and joy. Happiness can show here, it can show in our lives too. But joy is something deeper, greater. Happiness as an emotion can make us laugh, can make us smile. A sense of contentedness, enjoyment, something pleasurable. But joy in the Christian believer is a condition that we should all have. For the Christian, someone who knows, loves, and serves God, whatever we're going through, there should be within us that sense of joy. It's the fruit of a right relationship with God. It's not something you can manufacture and create yourself. The Bible clearly distinguishes between joy and pleasure and happiness. The Bible is also honest that at times joy is the last thing that people experience when they meet with the living God. Just two examples, one from Ecclesiastes, which probably isn't the most popular book read. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 records the sad testimony of someone who sought to build their life on pleasure seeking, which left them empty and disillusioned. It's in the Bible. And the other example is the rich young ruler who came to Jesus and asked a question, and it tells us he went away sad in Matthew 19. He went away sad, not joyful having met Jesus, because he was unwilling to do as Jesus said. And so not everyone who meets with Jesus experiences joy. Okay, that's the introduction. Now let's get down to the passages that were read to us just a few moments ago. Let's look first of all at 1 Peter. So often the Bible turns everything on its head, or maybe it turns things the right way round. Peter says that we are to rejoice even though now we are going through suffering, grief, and all kinds of trials. Now, be honest, do you really experience joy when life is tough? When everything is being thrown at you? Or you know someone where you wonder how much more can they take? And particularly for Christians, how can you have this sense of joy when you're going through trials and afflictions? Someone I know is in prison at the moment. And in one of his letters to me, he said his prayer had been before he went to prison, he wanted to come to know God better. He had no idea he was going to have to go to prison for that to happen. It's extraordinary. In prison, and yet experiencing God in a way that he hadn't done before. So, Peter, what are you on about? Rejoice when you're suffering. Just sound like a contradiction in the world's eyes. But no matter what we're facing, whether it's physical or emotional or mental or spiritual or relational, as Christians, we still benefit from the blessing of God, which brings us joy. Joy isn't conditional on our circumstances. Let me say that again. Joy is not conditional on our circumstances. Otherwise, many of us would never, ever experience joy. But that blessing of joy is through God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And it may be these trials feel perilous. They feel they're going to suck all the energy out of us. They just pull us down. But they're actually to help, they're designed to refine our characters. Can you think of a time when you went through a really difficult patch? At the end of it, were you a stronger Christian or a weaker Christian? Because there'd be experiences of both. Sometimes trials and afflictions and difficulties draw people away from God. And sometimes those things draw us to God. Peter says in verse 7 that we're being refined like fire, as if we were being refined by fire. It's easy to say that, isn't it? But when you're going through those tough times, how hard it is to still have that sense of joy deep within us. And then Peter goes on in verse 8 and 9. He doesn't make it any easier. He says, though you have not seen him, that is Christ, you love him. And even though you do not see him, you believe in him and are filled, listen to this, with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Does that sum you up? Could you honestly go out from here today and say that you have an inexpressible and glorious joy? That's what Peter says. Why? Because you're receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And that's key. Now, I think it's very hard for us to grasp. I hope the people Peter was writing to grasped it perhaps quicker than we do. Or maybe it's quite straightforward. What he's actually saying is your soul is more important than your circumstances. Your soul is more important than your circumstances. If you are in Christ, that is, you're a Christian, you're in a relationship with God through Christ, then no matter what is going on humanly, mentally, or emotionally, you have deep joy because your eternity is secured. You've been saved. If you know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you are saved. In other words, if you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, you're seeking to live for him and serve him day by day. You begin to view life from an eternal perspective. And so you have every reason to experience joy, regardless of your circumstances. And we're so caught up with earthly things, aren't we? Our eyes are fixed downwards, not upwards so much of the time. We forget this eternal perspective. If only it was as easy to do as the chorus says, turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. How many times have we sung that? How hard it is. But it's the challenge of living a spirit-filled life. Not just joy, but love, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. All of them, as they're listed in Galatians 5. I've said just now, these are fruit, not fruits. It's plural fruit in each of us. It's not a pick and mix. I'll have a bit of goodness, a bit of patience, but no way I'm going near self-control. No, it's all embracing. All the fruit of the Spirit is for every Christian. Now, I want you to imagine a church where each person is producing better and better fruit of the Spirit. More love, more joy, more patience, more kindness, more goodness, more faithfulness, more gentleness, more self-control. What a powerful witness the church would be in our community. Do you remember years ago there was a phrase that said, "See how those Christians love one another." It's often said in a derogatory way, but it's actually what should be said in a positive way. See how these Christians are with each other, with their love and patience and goodness and all those other things. Wishful thinking? Maybe. But it's the biblical perspective of what it means to be in Christ. I'd be surprised if any of us, and certainly by the response earlier, if any of us have got all the fruit in total abundance. Some we find harder, some we find easier. But all of them should be developing in us. Those of us who have certain parts of the fruit of the Spirit that is evident, good, but that can still be developed. For those of us who find it hard in some of those areas of the fruit of the Spirit, we need to develop and work on those. None of us are fully there yet, as far as the fruit of the Spirit is concerned, unless we're dead. Let's turn then to Hebrews chapter 12. Let me read the verse again. "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Do you know, when we consider our sufferings, they are so small. I'm not trying to minimize them, but they are so small compared to what Jesus went through. He left the glory of heaven. He came to earth. He lived. He died on the cross. A cruel, painful, shameful, hideous death. Why? To save us, yes. But also, Hebrews tells us, because of the joy that awaited him when he ascended back to heaven, living in eternity with God. And because of his faithfulness to the end, to the cross, we can be assured of joy now. Joy, the hallmark of a Christian. And is it evident in your life and my life? Because whatever is going on now, one day, if we are a Christian, we're going to go to heaven and have absolute, abundant joy all the time. No more difficulties, no more pain. But he doesn't want us to wait till we get there. He wants us to have real joy now. One writer says this: joy is in the Christian life is in direct proportion as believers walk with the Lord. Philippians 4 tells us that believers can rejoice because they are in the Lord. And that writer seems to suggest that the closer we come to Christ, the more joy we will experience. Christians need to walk closely with the Lord. We rejoice in what he's done for us, what he is doing for us, what he will do for us, in spite of what the world throws at us. Jesus himself spoke in Matthew 5 in the Sermon on the Mount that those who could rejoice even though they were being persecuted and killed. I don't know how long it is since you read the book of Acts, but you can't help reading the book of Acts and get this sense of joy right from Acts 2, this great sense of God at work in these people's lives. And joy is a characteristic of the book of Acts, characteristic of those who follow Jesus. And those early Christians didn't have it easy, persecuted, tortured, martyred for the faith. And yet, how many of them displayed such joy? Much more than just a smile on your face. So today, joy can't be manufactured. But do you remember the day when you first became a Christian? I can. I can remember the wonderful sense of joy. I was so excited. It was great. I was on a Christian Endeavor holiday. And at the end of that week, I became a Christian. The hardest people to tell were my parents. And it was 2 days later when I actually told them. They were Christians, very involved in the life of the church. And after 2 days, I eventually plucked up the courage to tell them. And do you know what they said? We know. We could tell. I thought, you rotten pair. Why didn't you say something? But they knew I'd got to tell them. But they had seen something in me that I wasn't aware of. Is the joy of the Lord in your face, my face? Is the joy of the Lord deep in our hearts? So when you first become a Christian, it's exciting. You're going to win the world. How long does it take for that joy to fade a bit? And those of us who have been Christians a long time, has the joy faded? Has life squeezed joy out of us? Are we trudging through life, trying to be joyful, but it's, oh, such hard work? Maybe you've been hurt by a Christian. Maybe something in the church hasn't been the way you thought it should be, and it's been tough. And joy can be the last thing we experience. But if we're Christians without joy, what kind of a witness are we to the world? We have so much to be joyful about. Most of all, because we've been saved from sin, set free from the bondage of it, and one day we'll be with the Lord forever. Let's be infectious with the joy of the Lord as we live, as we witness, and as we serve. And let that joy bring glory to God. Let's be quiet. Let's reflect on God's word in our own hearts and respond to Him.